And if you turn in the Word of God to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11.
We're going to read verses 17 to 34. Verses 17 to 34 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Last month when we had the Lord's table, I said that at some point I would be bringing teaching on the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, and I just feel that so often it's just an add-on, it's an extra, rather than being, as it were, something so special and so precious. I'm not going to do that at this moment, but I do want to bring something from this chapter, which I believe the Lord has spoken to me and laid on my heart. And in fact, it's just one word, or three words if you like, is the word which we will find in a moment. As we read through the passage, is the word till or until. Until he comes, till he comes. Hallelujah. So let's read this word of God. May the Holy Spirit speak to us from it. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. But first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. But there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. But let me just say, friends, when you do not discern the body of Christ, when you have not examined yourself, or when you have something against a brother or sister and you've not sought to put it right, demonic spirits can take over, and that can bring sickness or even death. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying here. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. This is the word of the Lord. In verse 25, in the same manner, he, being Jesus, also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This do. The Authorized Version says, you do show the Lord's death. And I think that should be dropped, because that, to me, seems as if it should be a passion play or a celebration of Mass. I think what we have in this version is so much better. This do, take part. Do it in remembrance of me. You're showing forth the sufferings, the death, and the resurrection, and remembering that he is coming back. And friends, this new covenant. Oh, aren't you thankful it's a new covenant? Aren't you grateful you're not under the old? Well, man, it's a new covenant. It's a new covenant. It's in Jesus' blood. It directly, of course, links back to the sacrificial system of the Hebrews. The Israel system of sacrifices. It links back to that. It was prefigured by this system of sacrifices. But it was never enough. It was never enough. This new covenant, hallelujah, it has accomplished the removal of sin. Hallelujah. The cleansing of the conscience by faith in him. What a saviour. Hallelujah. What a saviour. So every time Christians take part, every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we remind ourselves, they remind ourselves, that God has fulfilled his promise. It's a covenant. He promised it in Jeremiah. He has fulfilled his covenant. We have so much to be thankful for. That's why even on Sunday at the graveside, I think it was, we could say, where, O death, is your victory? Where, grave, is your victory? There's no sting in death because of what Christ has done and accomplished. He's done it all. It's a new covenant in his blood. Wonder, he says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. What a saviour. Hallelujah. What a saviour. But I want again for a few moments to direct our thoughts to what we find in verse 26 of this passage. As often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Till he comes. Till he comes. Firstly, it's a waiting word. Till is a waiting word. I'm sure we've said to our children or to our husband or wife, stay here until I come back. You wait there until I come back. Of course, John records something similar in the Gospel of John, his Gospel in chapter 14, and we read these verses last Monday at the funeral service, chapter 14 and verses 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So make sure you're in the place where he'll find you. What's that place? In faith. In faith. In faith. It's a waiting word. He says to his disciples, and he says to you, he says to me, the Lord's Supper is until that great celebration when the bride meets the bridegroom. I won't do it again until Jesus says, until I'm do it with you in glory. We have to do it as a reminder, not only of what Jesus has accomplished for us when we were without hope, when we were sunk in sin. He gave his life. He has ransomed us from the pit. It's a reminder what he has accomplished. It's a reminder what he's doing right now as our great heavenly high priest. It's a reminder that we do it because he's coming back. Hallelujah. He's returning. He's returning. The people of God are waiting for someone. We're waiting. We're waiting. We're waiting for the bridegroom. We're waiting for the time when we share in this heavenly banquet. You may think chicken Madras is the best thing. No, it isn't. When we're seated around the banquet, his banner over us is love, and feasting at the master's table, this is just a foretaste of it. That's why we shouldn't do it lightly. We should do it solemnly, but also with excitement, with anticipation. We're waiting for Jesus. Are you waiting for him? Yes. Jesus is coming again. And in this communion, we affirm that fact. You see, until or till is not speculation, it's anticipation. It's anticipation. So it's a waiting word, but it's also a working word. Till, until. You proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Have you noticed in the parables that Jesus gave, how many times the note is struck? Work until. Till is a working word. We are called to work out our salvation with trembling and with fear. Amen? How do you work out your salvation? By obedience to the Lord. Hallelujah. Perhaps the best known, of course, is Matthew 25, and when you get the parable of the talents, I mentioned it in my prayer. The man gives to his servants or to his slaves. To one he gives 5 talents, to another he gives 3 talents, to another 1 talent. And then he goes away. But he comes back. He comes back. He went away for a little while. He comes back. 2 of the guys did useful things with their talents. But the 3rd guy says, I know you're a hard master and whatnot, so I hid it. And here it is. You lazy sluggard. You lazy sluggard. You did not obey me. You had no faith. You thought you was okay. But works accomplish faith. Depart from me. The master says, go on and do what you will with what I've given you until I return. It's a working word. Do what I have given you until I come. I know I've made excuses. I know that I've sat back and let others do things. I know that at times there's been a call to do something, to be in obedience, and I've taken the easy option. I thought it was the easy option. I've made excuses. Some of you will be sitting here this morning who are making excuses. Hear from the Lord. Do what he has given to you to do. What he has given you to do, he will give you the grace and the power to accomplish that for his sake, for his glory. We spoke last week of personal ambitions and godly ambitions and so on. We also spoke, as was referred to last night, about the temptations. Jesus underwent temptations, severe temptations. He resisted. He used the word of God. He did what his Father asked him to do. Nothing else. And we must do the same. There's a temptation to do wrong, a temptation to do evil, a temptation to sin, but there's also the temptation to do what God hasn't asked you to do, but just to keep you busy and not fruitful. But the Lord wants us to be fruitful. For his glory, you abide in him, you will bear fruit. It is not a time to sit on our backsides. It is a time to redeem. Redeem the days, redeem the time. Use every opportunity. We must work till Jesus comes in his power. We must not leave it to the next person. But thirdly, it's a willing word, until. It's a willing word. This is comes from a heart, for it was worked out from a heart with great sense of longing, of desire. Have you ever wondered about the last few verses in the book of in Revelation and chapter 22? Amazing words. You know, I wonder John was able to write anything down. He must have got so excited at this stage. How would he be able to contain himself? These words are so amazing. So hard for our minds to comprehend. But as he's writing, it comes to verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. And as death may take our loved ones, and we come to a communion service, without them, we come without those who we've perhaps shared the communion with in the past, this becomes a willing word. It becomes a word that we look forward to. A day when Jesus shall come again and we will be reunited. Heaven is a place of reunion. It's a place where there are no more tears. It's a place where there's no more separation. Hallelujah. We look forward in faith to that great reunion. But may I also remind you, dear friend, that there is a purpose for you being left behind. There is a purpose. God does have a plan for you. God does have his purpose for you. You may feel bereaved and sad over the separation and you can't make sense of it. It seems so unreal. It may even appear so unfair. But God does have a purpose and a plan for you. So does Satan. And if he can get you to wallow and wallow in the depths of self-pity and depression, he will have succeeded. The Lord Jesus Christ is your great comforter. The people of God should also be around you to bring their love, their grace, their compassion, their help, to bear your burden. But the Lord Jesus does know, he does understand. We are living in a fallen world. We have ourselves fallen bodies. We sin. But by his grace, we who know Jesus are redeemed. We've been made alive in Christ. We've been made anew. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. But he is also a sympathetic high priest and comforter. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. Do not give up as the world might give up. He has a plan for you. This is the day when the Lord calls me, whether he calls me or whether he comes for me. I want to live this day for him. It's a willing word. And finally, it's a wonderful word. It's a wonderful word, guys. It's a real wonderful word. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. The Apostle Paul did not say, if he comes. Paul did not say, in case he comes. He says, he's coming. It's definite. Jesus is coming. No doubt about it. He's coming. We may not be sure of the time, but we're absolutely confident about the event. He's coming. And the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is here as well to assist us in helping us to remember it is. He's coming back. He's coming back. There is a historical purpose in the Lord's Supper, but there is also a prophetical purpose in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper proclaims what has happened, but the promise of what yet will happen is coming back. And when we participate and partake of the Lord's table, we not only look back to the cross, hallelujah, but we're looking forward to his coming again as the redeemed and ransomed people of God. John says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So let us commemorate, let us celebrate, till he comes. Hallelujah. Amen.